إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, in the lessons from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam series, the last one that I want to talk about today is the final test of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, when first after leaving our mother, his wife Hajar alayhi salam, and his newborn child Ismail alayhi salam in the valley of Makkah, Ibrahim alayhi salam then came back, and then we have the Quran narrates the story of the sacrifice of Ismail alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ismail alayhi salam Zibhin Azim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, Qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya, said, verily you have fulfilled the dream, you have accomplished what was given to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it was a severe test, and bismillahi ta'ala, by his mercy and by his help, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam completed the test. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them to construct the Kaaba, to raise the walls of his house, and to call the Adhan for Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took literally the story of the life of this blessed family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of his wife Hajar, and of Ismail alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this life of this family, their actions, all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted these actions into the arkan of Hajj, into the manasik of Hajj. So these actions of this blessed family became ibadah, and they became the means of commemorating and remembering them for generations to come, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to end this earth. The lesson we get from this is the lesson of the wages of obedience. The reason I'm saying that is because we spend a lot of our time trying to get popularity, trying to get influence in society. We want to be remembered, we want people to speak well of us, and so on and so on. And we spend a lot of time. And we live in a time where canvassing, where promoting yourself, all of this is not only accepted, but it is considered to be perfectly good, and it's considered to be unnatural not to do this. Modesty is gone. We don't live in an age of modesty anymore, unfortunately. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us? What does the Quran teach us, and what does the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam teach us? What really gets you remembrance, what really gets you popularity, so to speak, what really gets you influence, and what really gets you that is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to be remembered. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your ranks. He said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah said, we will raise your mention. And he did that for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take the lives of the Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya to be obeyed. And he sent the Anbiya, all of them collectively and individually, as examples for all of mankind to be remembered, to be followed. And from the lives of the Anbiya, this is the message that comes across, which is that the Anbiya are remembered because they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, as we see in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, even where the actions that they did from purely a worldly perspective may seem to be not beneficial. But when you look at the action from the perspective of deen, from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum, then you see the benefit in that action. And that benefit is a permanent, long-lasting benefit. And that's clear from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the way to the last of those tests, which was the sacrifice of his son Ismail alayhi salam. The second lesson from this is also the relationship of the son and the father. Now, if you look at the life of Ismail alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam was the product of a single mother. His father was not part of his upbringing all the way until perhaps they started raising the walls of the Kaaba. Until then, Ismail alayhi salam had only his mother and she brought him up. But the upbringing was such that not only did he learn the values of life and not only did he learn how to conduct himself, but he also learned to respect his father and to obey his father, even though the father was nowhere on the scene. Now that's another issue today when we look at nuclear families, when we look at single parents and so on. How do you still inculcate values in children which earlier was more of, I think the parents didn't need to make that much effort because we lived in large families, joint families, so the grandparents were there, uncles and aunts were there, and tarbiyah happened from different sources. If the parent didn't say what needed to be said to the child, some uncle would do it, some aunt would do it, the grandparents would do it. So eventually the child got a lot more adult input into his or her upbringing than happens today in nuclear families where you have just the father, the mother, and the parents, and the children. And to some extent or the other, especially today when both parents work, or even if just one parent works, the children are really the product of single parents. And they may not be single parents as in orphans or divorced, broken families, but effectively they are, because the father is away working all day, the mother is bringing up the child, or vice versa, or as the case might be. So therefore, it is also, there is a lot of lesson in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam as what is to be done in such a case of how do you still bring up children who are a credit to you and who are a means of khair for you. Because this is a very important thing to remember. I sometimes ask people this question. I say, how many kids do you have? And then everybody puts, I have 2 kids, I have 3 kids. So then I ask them, I tell them that kids are the offspring of goats. They are not the offspring of human beings. So do you have kids or do you have children? There's a big difference in how a kid is brought up. Unfortunately, today we bring up children like we bring up kids. We feed them, we clothe them, we keep them dry, and we think our job is over. It's not over, not by a long shot. The whole issue of tarbiyah of children is the duty of parents. And parents get their position, and this is important to remember, because it's easy to lecture children and say Jannah is under the feet of your mother and the father is the door of the Jannah and so on. But the father and mother do not just become doors of Jannah because they are biological parents. They become doors of Jannah because of the effort they put in into the tarbiyah of the child, not just feeding and clothing the child or changing nappies. The question of tarbiyah of the child. And this is what Hajar alayhi salam, imagine a single woman living in that kind of environment, newborn baby, no guidance from anyone. But how did she do that? And one of the major reasons for doing that is ruju ilallah, is her connection with her Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has taqwa, Allah will teach him. يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach. And that is what my understanding is that happened in her case, where she was, because again, this was her first child. So it's not as if she was, you know, she had 10 children before that, so she was an expert at, no, first child, she was not an expert at upbringing of children. She was by herself in a place, abandoned. Yet, she managed to bring up a child who is exemplary in terms of how a child is brought up. And he was able to take all the right decisions. His father could have the conversation that he had with him. And eventually, the one who decides success is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certified his success. Now, what more can one ask? And all of that credit goes to the mother. And it's because of her, and single-handedly. I mean, Ibrahim alayhi salam had no part to play in that, apart, of course, obviously, from his dua, and that is the dua of the father, dua of the Nabi. So we don't discount that whatsoever. But from Asbab perspective, the credit for upbringing of Ismail alayhi salam goes single-handedly and goes singly to his mother, and that is what happens because she was a muttaqi. And she was connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided her on what is to be done. And therefore, that's also a lesson for us to say, what is the parent's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So upbringing of children is not only what to feed them and so on and so forth, and referring to, you know, the means of it, but also connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your own connection with Allah, what do you do with regard to that? How much dua do you make for your children? What kind of dua do you make for your children? And how do you bring them up? So this is also part of the lessons from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us the tawfiq to study the lives of the Anbiya, to reflect on it, to see how it connects with our lives, and to mold our lives on the lives of the Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Anbiya, as I said, in order for them to be obeyed and in order for them to be followed, and as benchmarks and quality standards for the rest of mankind on how to live their lives. And in the lives of the Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showed what happens to those who live their lives like that. They are highly successful, they are highly influential, they have name and fame like you can't believe, centuries and centuries afterwards. After they have gone, thousands of years after they have passed away, people take their names with respect. Now, what else can you ask for in this life? Now, to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't keep this a great secret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented it very clearly for anyone who wishes to see, and anyone who wishes to reflect, and anyone who wishes to follow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who follow the Anbiya. We ask Allah to make us among those who follow Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and to mold our lives on his sunnah and to live our lives according to his sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this not just easy for us, but to help us to taste the sweetness of it. Because it's not a question of being, you know, something difficult became easy, but something which is aspirational, as like an aspirational goal. The dream is to live my life according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. And that's where Ibrahim alayhi salam, what he said and his dua, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmur rahim.